You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Golf Podcast here. With William Hill, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you once again this week to analyse a couple of events. We've got the Andalusia Masters on the European Tour and we're in Asia again for the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges this week as well. Dave Tindall sitting opposite me here in the William Hill studio. Dave, first of all, a good morning to you.
Hello to you, sir. I always make a joke about CJ off Reginald Perrin. Is that too old to you?
That's too old for me. But,
well,
some people will
get the
reference.
You can watch it on old TVs. I mean, I know stuff about dinosaurs. I wasn't around then.
That's true.
And the Beatles, you know.
But popular culture is a little bit different to knowing things about dinosaurs and about Jesus and stuff like that, isn't it?
I don't know these days. People should watch The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin.
Have you made your joke yet?
To get my CJ Cup.
Oh, right, okay.
It's about being a little bit late.
Right, okay.
That's one of his catchphrases, CJ. Anyway, the cup isn't named after him, we can reveal.
Who is it named after?
I've absolutely no idea.
I have no idea either.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that event very shortly. Shall we have a quick
look
reflection
back
on last week,
yes,
first? I'm not sure there's anyone that would begrudge Eddie Pepperell his win in the British Masters. He's turned into a bit of a cult, hasn't he, in terms of personality with his blogs and his cutting words on Twitter. And his second win on tour this season, the biggest of his career. Weirdly, it seemed like a win that was overdue as well, despite him winning earlier on in the year.
Yeah, I guess he seems to have been up there all the time, doesn't he? That raft of top tens. We saw him bank big money in the Scottish Open and the Open, and he just seems to be up there every week. And yeah, he wasn't a million miles away from sort of Ryder Cup, was he, to be honest? Mm. It was just a competitive year. But he did it, pillar to post, first pillar to post win, Y to Y win on the European Tour this year.
So a lot of pressure. Right? I didn't realise that.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on him. And I think one of the things that's impressive, he basically said he didn't have his game for a lot of it. So he got the lead early, and he's that good now, he can win without having his A game. That is kind of the next development, isn't it, in a player?
Are you one of those people that believes a person's name is written on a trophy or an event?
He held out twice,
didn't he?
Yeah, some things go his way, didn't he, certainly. But then, you know, you put your way in front of luck, don't you? It's all very well those things happening, but he's got to do all the stuff around it for that to be relevant.
And what about Mark Leishman on the PGA Tour? He was around about 35-1 shot last week, and which in the benefit of hindsight looks pretty big. He's one of the best front runners in the business, Leishman, and it was no surprise to me to wake up on Sunday morning to see that he'd won. Just a very, very good player.
That's right, yeah, he knows how to win, doesn't he, as well, and he kicked clear. I was looking at the stats going into the final round. He was tied for the lead with Gary Woodland and Shubhankar Sharma. Shubhankar Sharma was that surprise 54-hole leader in a Mexico event and kind of folding, and Gary Woodland's got a terrible record when he's tied for the lead after round four, so I thought it was there for Leishman to go and win, and he did it in style, didn't he?
He did. 78 players in the field last week. 43 of them were 10 under or lower for the week. Is that the sort of event we want to see?
Well, I think all the talk beforehand was that this would be a much harder year. Even some of the players were guessing that 14, 15 under would win. I think they just got a softened course, didn't they, with the wet, and it wasn't as fiery.
That's often going to be the case, isn't it?
Yeah, but they thought that because they put Bermuda in, they thought the fairways would be a bit bouncier.
Yeah.
And it might be a bit harder to control, but it was just another birdie fest.
It was. It was Mark Leishman and Eddie Pepperell, two good winners last week. Let's hope we can find a winner this week, either in the Andalusia Masters or the CJ Cup, which we'll come to in due course. Let's start with the event in Spain, though, where Sergio Garcia is 4-1 to win again around Valderrama. Shane Lowry is 8-1. Andrew Johnston, Lee Westwood, Padraig Harrington, and Soren Kjeldsen all 20-1. Marcus Kinnelt is 25s. Joost Louten, who's returning, is 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. It's always a fun week when Valderrama is on the menu, Dave. The resurrection of this event on this course has only been a good thing for the tour. It's a Robert Trent Jones Jr. design. It's a par 71 that measures only 7,000 yards, but even though Sergio Garcia won with a 12 under par total last year, Andrew Johnston won this event a couple of years ago with a winning total of 1 over par. And it's a heavily tree-lined golf course with very small greens. And that's where the difficulty lies, not in its length, but in its strategy.
Yeah, and it really is one of those horses for courses type venues, isn't it? You see, if someone's got a good record there, they seem to have done it for years and years and years. Garcia particularly, he's got 11 top 10s there or something, won two of the last three events, European Tour events to be held there.
Yep.
And you look further down, there's some players, because of the gap, some of the form is old, but then they've gone back to it in 2016 and 17. They play well there again. So it definitely is, if you like it, you really do like it.
Yeah, I think it's a veteran track as well, personally. And a course form is maybe, as you've just alluded to, more important here than perhaps anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's a claim, isn't it? But it's certainly right up there, isn't it? You, if your sort of feeling is always maybe you're a 50-50 man, a lot of people maybe more current form, but I think you've got to weight it, haven't you, towards course form this week, definitely.
Were you tempted by Sergio Garcia?
Not really. I'd only be tempted by him if I was doing a sort of cross-Atlantic double type of thing.
Yeah.
Not individually at that price.
No, I think he's a little bit short, given that a few weeks ago people were questioning whether he was in the sort of form to warrant a Ryder Cup pick. Now you're taking 4-1, albeit in a weak European Tour field.
Yeah.
It seems, even though he's got an amazing record at the course, a little bit skinny.
Yeah, I keep seeing people saying, how can he be 4-1 on Twitter when he's out of form? Well, you've got to revise his out-of-form status at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, his last three starts, 24th at the Wyndham, 7th in Portugal, excellent Ryder Cup. Is that not now quite good form, I would argue?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that the criticism of the price is, I think the current form element is slightly of a red herring in that now. It's more to do with, I think, anyone at 4-1 in any tournament, unless you're Tiger Woods and his pomp's a bit sort of... Nah.
Yeah, okay. I've just got the one pick for this event, and I'm going with a guy that's good at the venue and that's a veteran golfer, who's a little bit out of form, in fact.
Okay, I thought I was going to guess you there, but
okay.
I'm going to go with two complete course form horses are veterans.
Yeah, I must admit, towards the top of the betting, I know you might select one of these guys, but I was very tempted by Padraig Harrington.
Well, that is one of mine.
Okay, well, yes. Well, you lead off with Padraig Harrington.
Yeah. Well, not a lot I have to say, really, is there? Because
it's there in the book, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You just go through his record at Valderrama. I mean, he started playing it back in the 90s. He was fifth there in the American Express Championship when it staged that event, and he just goes through his form. You can't find anything. Well, the only time he's outside the top 20 was last year when he was 27th, but a lot of his form, 27th, is good for Harrington, isn't it, around that time where,
yeah.
But obviously what we've seen this year, you know, we're so used to seeing sort of like miscut, 50th, and with his form, suddenly since August, he's gone 2nd, 5th, miscut, 7th, 22nd. So 3 top 7s in his last 5 starts. He's banged back on it again, I think. And
I agree.
I think the Ryder Cup was a really good experience for him as well as a vice-captain. Yeah, said he didn't have his best stuff at the British Masters, but he was previous. I think he's a late entry, isn't he, this week? I think, I'm not sure why he wouldn't have played it to begin with.
I've got that written down on my notes here. Why wouldn't you, with that wonderful record at Valderrama, put this one on the schedule?
Yeah.
But he's just outside the top 78 on the race to Dubai, so he needs a decent week to edge his way in to get to Turkey. Yeah.
That's his aim. So it's nice having a little aim as well, isn't it? But yeah. Why wasn't he playing? Maybe just thought he'd had a busy time with the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he played the Alfred Dunhill and the British Masters, maybe.
You'd think he might have dropped maybe the British Masters, wouldn't you, perhaps?
Maybe
that's an event with...
Promise
it's probably
Rose,
an event with more prestige, isn't it, as well?
Maybe, yeah. But I'm sure he can handle one more event around this track. Yeah, 20s isn't amazing, you have to say. It's kind of, we know all about him, but... I just think in a week where it's not a great field, is it? And you're thinking,
it's
well,
pretty poor, really.
You're thinking, well, someone's got to fill these places. And I think he is a really obvious one to get in the mix. And who knows? I mean, the good thing about Harrington, when he does get in the mix, he sort of focuses, he sort of goes back about 10 years and he's able to sort of, all that adrenaline comes back. He's one of those you want in the mix because you think he's just going to stay there.
Yeah. Okay, Padraig Harrington at 20-1 is Dave's first of two picks. I'm going to go with Alejandro Canizares as my only pick in this event. Just playing a small half point each way bet on Canizares at 125-1 because, as I just mentioned, he is out of form, really. But after a string of missed cuts, he's played the weekend... in his last two events at the Portugal Masters and the Dunhill Links. And I think that bodes well for his return to Valderrama. He's had real issues, hasn't he, Canizares, with a wrist problem, which has curtailed his season, I suppose. But his course form holds up very well here. Loves the players. Three top 25s and two top 15s in his last three visits. He's strong off the tee, which is obviously a real benefit around this heavily tree-lined track, and I thought it was just worth chancing for a few quid at 125s.
Yeah, I've got a similar sort of half-pointer at a three-figure price, Peter Hansen.
Yeah.
Again, you go through his record, it's just full of top 20s and top 25s. A fourth on his Volvo Masters debut, and that used to be the season-ending event, fourth there back in 2004. And you think, oh, hang on, is this just all old form? No, it isn't. The last 2 years he's gone there. It held the Open de España when Beef won in April 2016. He was top 20 there. And then last year, in this very tournament at this time, he had tied 12th. So that is really good. And you think, all right, I'll give you that, but he's got no current form. Well, he has, because he was tied 10th. And I didn't really recall this, but I just checked his current form. Tied 10th in the Alfred Dunhill 2 weeks ago.
All right, OK.
So I thought, oh, really? Missed a cut in the British Masters, but he does do a lot of missing cuts. But that tied 10th in the Alfred Dunhill Links, he was also tied 7th in the Shot Clock Masters in Austria. I mean, that was only back in June, so he's not gone at the game or anything. And again, I think you put him on this course, it's almost like you can give him 1.5 shots around. There you go already, as a sort of, you know, bonus over the field. So I thought at hundreds that was acceptable to get a price on a real course veteran with some decent little current form as well.
Yeah, I like it. 100-1 now on Peter Hansen. Let's talk about other players that might come into the mix this week. I did like Marcus Kinholt at that opening 40-1. He's been well found in the market now into 25-1. He's talked all season about his game suiting tests like this, and that's been borne out by performances in France and at Wentworth as well. So I thought he could go well, Marcus Kinholt, but 25-1 is very skinny.
Yes.
And Pablo Larrazabal, I think, is going to have a big week this week. I'm not surprised his performances have dipped when he's been playing in the British Isles, because he talks about not being able to find his best game in poor weather.
Yeah, he said that on Twitter.
He said that numerous times down the years. It is forecast to be a little bit wet on Thursday and Friday, which just slightly tempers my enthusiasm. But
no wind.
No
there.
Wind. Yeah. And he'll have the sun on his back at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Temperatures into the 20s, I think, on Saturday and Sunday. And he's got an interesting profile around Valderrama as well, Larrazabal. So
yeah,
it's a course that's tailor-made for him, I think, because he is a real ball striker and very accurate from tee to green.
Yeah, I like that. People who've maybe not been keeping a really close eye on the current form would look at Juuse Lauten and think, wow, he's got some course form, but he's not played since May.
Yeah.
So that's certainly...
Well, he's finished second his last two starts at Round Valderrama.
So to be asked to take 28s when he's not played since May...
He's actually been quite well supported, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which surprised me a little bit.
All I could dig at when I was digging through quotes, he did say he wouldn't come back until he was fully ready. So at least you can guarantee, I think, that he's... Because I think if he'd rushed back...
That's good.
He would have played his home KLM Open. But I think he's done it properly, so I'm going to get the rest in. So you presume he's been practicing a fair bit.
Yeah.
But it's still a tough ask to come back. Obviously, Beef won here before, but 20s is...
That's short, isn't it?
Short, isn't it? Yeah. Shane Lowry loves these sort of tests. He's got a brilliant Wentworth record, but 8-1. That, again, I was thinking...
I think that's probably the...
Worst price of the week
worst
award.
Price of the week, yeah.
That is just really cutting him off. Lee Westwood played a lot of good golf there. 20s. The one further down I did look at very early when I was writing my Roto World piece was Ashley Chesters, because he was 12th in driving accuracy. I think maybe in this field he's the highest ranked on the DA stats for the season. And then I thought, I wonder if that translates to any form at the course. And he was 12th last year, so
yeah,
nice bit of symmetry there. But I think we've collared him a little bit at 66s. So, yeah, I think we've just about managed three picks there. But it's a tough week. And
I think it's a very difficult event.
I can't see Sergio out of the top five, to be honest, but I don't want to take 4-1.
OK, let's move on to the CJ Cup, this week's PGA Tour event. And the latest betting sees Justin Thomas once again at the top of the market at 5-1. Brooks Koepka is 8-1. Jason Day is 12s. Hideki Matsuyama, 14-1. Mark Leishman, 14-1. Paul Casey is 20s. 25-1, Billy Horschel and Xander Schauffele. And it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. PGA Tour moves from Malaysia to Jeju Island, South Korea, for this CJ Cup. The purse for this event is obscene, isn't it? I can't remember where I read it, but this event is worth more than any World Golf Championship on tour, I think.
Yeah, I knew it was one of those ones where...
I think that's right. Don't quote me on that, because I couldn't find the link to the piece that I was reading.
Yeah, no, I think I remember last year if you play in one of these one-and-done leagues where you put a player up each week and that's it, you can't use him again for the season. I was thinking, I'll just chuck someone a bit rubbish in this week. And I looked at the purse and thought, oh, hang on, might be worth putting in a big name here because there's a big old prize going.
OK. This is an event that I struggled with. The course was actually tough on its debut last year. The wind blew, which really affected scoring. And even though the greens are slow, the slopes are severe. And players found that difficult to handle, I thought. Justin Thomas putted well en route to his win. Actually, last year, Thomas opened with a 9-under-63 and ended the week on that score to win, which is unusual, Dave.
Yeah, I think the feeling last year was he was running on fumes and he couldn't possibly win after such a long schedule when he seemed to be winning everything. But yeah, he came out and blew that theory out of the water straight away. One thing I did notice, obviously we're in Asia again, and I know Malaysia and South Korea aren't particularly near.
Yep.
If you do get your world map up and
it's about a 6-hour plane ride,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I did notice that last year, a couple of the top five at the CIMB went on to become two of the top five here. Pat Perez won the CIMB and then was fifth here. Cameron Smith top five in both. So I think it's not the worst idea to look at the top five last week. I've done that. I've prepared one earlier. And my pick, I was going to go with Leishman, to be honest.
Do you think scoring's going to be... it's going to be better
very
this year. It was very windy last year. It's not forecast to be as windy. And these players adapt quickly, don't they, as well? They've had a look at the course. And a lot of the leading contenders talked about the greens being particularly slow last year. And even though that's still likely to inconvenience a few maybe who are making their first appearance in the CJ Cup, I think they will have learnt a lot from last year. And with it not being as windy, I can see scoring being much lower.
Yeah, we're recording this Tuesday morning. Again, I've got one of these emails coming from the Asian Tour. Interviewed Mark Leishman today. Yeah, something. They're 7 hours ahead, aren't they?
Yeah.
He said, the course is amazing. I think the fairways are firmer than they were last year. They're a little shorter, as in the cut of the grass, maybe. But the greens are perfect again. And one thing I wasn't completely aware of, he played on, his first attempt at being on tour was on the South Korean tour, Mark Leishman.
I didn't realise that.
Cut his teeth, yeah, back in 2006. So he's got some affinity with the event. And obviously last year he lost a playoff, didn't he, to Justin Thomas. So I'm tempted. It's just knowing his price last week and knowing what it is now.
It makes you it makes you feel very upset, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you feel a bit of a twerp if then he's bombs. All I'd say,
you can't think like that in the long run, though, can you?
No.
Because you'd never back anyone.
Yeah, all I'd say is he does string good weeks together. We saw in the playoffs 2017, he was third at the Dell Technologies and then won the BMW. So he's certainly someone who can in string good performances together. Will I kick myself? Do you know what? I've thought of something on the spot to solve this.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of half leaning towards Sergio. I might just have half a point on the double.
Each way double?
Yeah, on Sergio and Leishman.
Okay, do that.
As unoriginal as this sounds, I think we've talked before on this podcast, at this time of year, I think a lot of favourites go in.
Yeah.
Maybe not always in the actual main tour events. Sometimes they're in the slightly silly season ones, but I think certainly Thomas showed that last year. He went and won. I mean, I know he's not the favourite this week, but I think I think form does sort of hold firm. And the fact that he played well last year, he's got these links with South Korea. Yeah, I'll do it that way.
Okay, and have you got another pick?
Yes.
Elsewhere? Have you just got one other pick?
Just one other pick, yeah.
Shall I lead off, or do you want to go first?
How many have you got?
I've just got one as well.
You go, because I've blithered on about Leishman for a bit.
You know what, I think Ian Poulter's overpriced this week,
right,
at 66-1. Or he was seventh in proximity on tour last year, which I think is a big factor this week given the size of these greens. We know his short iron play is the most solid aspect of his game as well, Poulter, and he's bound to be on a high after his Ryder Cup exploits as well. This has been borne out by his results in Asia after previous Ryder Cups. Got a whole raft of good form, and he was 15th in this event last year. Three of his last six wins have come in Asia. Loves playing in this part of the world, and he's won on tour this year as well. I just think he's been massively underrated in the market here this week, Poulter. So I'll play him a point each way at 66-1. I quite like his chances.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
He's just very good in this part of the world, really, Poulter.
Yeah, there's a few,
his career.
Isn't there? There's Westwood Oosthuis, and they seem to be ones who
thrive.
Yeah, who seem to really sort of do well and sort of know, they sort of know their record there, so they feel sort of 10 feet tall when they go there. I've also got a 66-1 shot.
Okay.
And it's basically, I'm just completely going on current form because he's not played the course before and I don't know how he'll take to it. Abraham Anser.
Yes.
That feeling, I said before, that if you were top five in the CIMB...
You like him as well, don't you?
I've sort of followed him. I don't think he gets enough credit. Is it because he's sort of Mexican and he's not as
I think there's
American?
Yeah, maybe there are a few golfers like that.
Yeah. I mean, you just sort of go back. So this is since starting with July 4th at the Quicken Loans, and he was fifth in the Canadian Open in July. Seventh in the Dell Technologies, fifth in the last in the CIMB Classic, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's four top sevens in his last nine starts. So he's doesn't seem to sort of be backing up at all, does he?
Yeah.
Closed with a 65 last week, putted really well. Tends to be. I mean, Dell Technologies, he was first on the all around. It's just you look at him and you think, oh, maybe you play him on a certain course. I don't know. I think he's play him anywhere at the minute, I think, and at those sort of prices. We're guessing on the course form, but I just think he's still under the radar a bit.
Yeah. No, I agree.
He's sort of just having a free roll at it.
Yep. Okay, so you've had the each way double with Garcia and Leishman, yes. Half a point each way, and you're going a point. Are you going a point each way on Abraham Ancer? 66.
Are you going to point each way on Poulter?
I am. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go on Ancer.
Yeah, okay.
We want to get in profit for it by the end of the year. We can't do it muddling around with quarter points or anything.
That is too true.
And I think they are both good prices at 66s. I think.
Yeah.
What do you think of Justin Thomas then this week?
I think he's around about the right price.
Yeah.
Very similar price to his price last week. This is a stronger field than last week, but he won here last year. Albeit in very, I think the conditions are going to be on the other end of the spectrum to last year, where the wind did really blow and he got off to that fantastic start and then clung on to a certain extent, Justin Thomas. It's interesting that I think three of the four players that shot under par on either over the weekend or on Sunday, can't remember the exact stat, were Australians, given the forecast last year.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be the same this year. I can see this being around about 20 under par that wins rather than 9 under par from last year. That I think the conditions will vary to that extent.
That much.
Yeah, so...
I think a bit less, but...
Yeah. But are you thinking like 16, 17?
16, 18, under? Yeah. That sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think Justin Thomas is a fair price, but not one that I'd be particularly enamoured with at fives.
Yeah.
I actually preferred him last week to this week.
Well, a two-time winner last week. I mean, he's won here as well.
Yeah.
Koepka 8-1, Day 12-1, Matsuyama 14-1. I'm sure they'll all have their own supporters.
Yeah.
Matsuyama sort of creeping up, isn't he? You think he's going to land something soon?
Mm. Some of the others that we talked about momentarily off air, Sung Jae Im,
yes.
Who has just been nibbled at in the market over the last few hours.
Yes.
He's 40-1 with William Hill. He's coming off the fourth place finish at the Safeway Open, top of the standings in the web.com last season as well. And he lists this as his home course.
Yeah.
So all the threads are there, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. All the planets seem to be aligned for him. But maybe he's... Well, fourth in Safeway was obviously very good. We'll have to see how he performs. I never mind Kevin Na. You know, I always think he can do better than his... He always gives you an each-way run at 50s.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got Korean roots. It's a really important event for him, this Kevin Na. Mm. Did nothing in it last year, but I thought he was okay last week. I just don't think he made a putt. I think in the final round, he shot 69... I thought, oh, was he all over? Was it a mixture of birds and bogeys? It was a bogey-free final round. I think if he just holds a few more putts, I think he could be right in this.
I liked Kyle Stanley at 40-1. I think he is still underrated by the layers, Kyle Stanley. Finished 19th, I think it was, in this last year, and he's just rock solid from tee to green. So I think Kyle Stanley, his putting often is much maligned. And rightly so, but I think Stanley could go well. And the other one that I liked at three figures was Charlie Hoffman at 125-1. I think that underestimates his chance and his ability, so a couple there maybe to have a look at.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone. I wondered if you'd look at CT Pan, or were you put off by him last week a little bit,
and same with Cameron Smith, who's 28-1. I put him up at 33-1 last week. This is a stronger field this week. But as you mentioned, he finished top five in both these events last year, and could go well. But I was slightly frustrated with myself for putting both him and Schauffele up at slightly prohibitive prices last week.
Yeah,
don't want to fall into that trap again.
Yes. Well, we've got a few bets there then.
Yeah, we have. Shall we recap the selections then?
Yes.
Dave, you start off.
So I'll start with that cross Atlantic double on Garcia and Mark Leishman.
Yeah.
Just half point each way.
Yep.
Harrington will go a point each way at Valderrama at 20s.
Yep.
And then Abraham Ancer a point each way at 66.
And you've forgotten about Peter Hansen as well.
And Peter Hansen, sorry, half a point. Sorry, Peter, if you're listening. Half a point each way on yourself at 100s.
Yeah. I've got a couple of picks. I'm going with Alejandro Canizares in the Andalusia Masters at 125-1. Half a point each way. And I like Ian Poulter this week in the CJ Cup. So a point each way on Poults at 66-1 as well. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you download this podcast weekly if you want to listen to it weekly. And you can get us on audioboom.com as well. Type in William Hill. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com and on the app. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.